The second reading may be found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Hear the word of the Lord. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of the Lord. There can be no doubt, can there, that Martha comes off second best in this story. It's Mary who receives our Lord's commendation. But I'm going to predict that next Thursday night, after you have set and decorated the table, cooked the turkey and the trimmings, put the meal on the table and cleaned up afterward, many of you are going to be standing in Martha's corner. If, as Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better part, Martha has chosen the necessary part. And I, for one, rise up in her defense this morning. Because, for starters, Martha was the hospitable one in that family. It was Martha who answered the doorbell when Jesus arrived that day. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, Luke says. It was Martha who opened her arms and said, "Jesus, we're glad you're here." It was Martha who ushered him into the house and invited him to make himself comfortable. Her very name, Martha, means literally sovereign lady. Sovereign lady. And here she is, living up to her name, the sovereign of the house, welcoming the sovereign of the universe to her dinner table. This, by the way, was not the only time Jesus used Martha's home as a bed and breakfast. According to John 11, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That kind of love doesn't just spring out of nowhere. It must have been the result of frequent visits and a long acquaintance. I can almost hear Martha issuing a standing invitation. "Jesus, you are welcome in my house anytime. Whenever you're in the area, please know that your room will be ready and waiting for you." Note further that John doesn't even mention Mary by name. It's Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So in the Gospel of John, Mary takes a back seat to Martha. Perhaps because Martha was so winsomely and wonderfully hospitable. Christian hospitality, of course, is more than just a handshake at the door and hors d'oeuvres in the living room. In the words of the late Henry Nouwen, Christian hospitality means the creation of a free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend. Hospitality then means allowing the other person to be who they are in our presence. Free to sing their own songs, Nouwen writes, speak their own languages, dance their own dances, free also to leave and follow their own vocations. parents show this kind of hospitality to your children? Oh, yes, you cook and you clean for them, you buy their clothes and you pay their tuition, but you do not own your children. They are your guests. And one day they are going to pack up their CDs and their Sony PlayStations, and they're going to leave home. In the meantime, your mission is to prepare them for that day. You are not to dictate, but you are to help them discover who they are and what God wants them to do with their life, so they may leave, as Nouwen puts it, to follow their own vocations. Oh, that's hard for parents to do. I've been there and done that. I have wanted to tell my children who they are. I've wanted to dictate to my children who they should be. My youngest daughter, I was absolutely positive, should become a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She has all the gifts and the whatever else is necessary for it. I was sure she should become a minister. She's the wife of a minister today, and that's just as good. That's just as good. See, I thought I knew what she should be. And she said to me after the 10 o'clock service, because she's here helping us with my wife, and I'll explain that in a minute. She's here, and she said to me afterwards, she said, "Dad, I remember the day when you came to me and said, you thought I ought to be a minister." And I said, "No way." No way. I have no right to tell my children, nor do you, who they are and what they should be. It is our privilege, rather, to help them discover who they are and then encourage them to be all that they can be. That's what hospitality means toward our children. Christians, let us show this kind of hospitality to people from other countries. Maybe difficult to do after 9/11, but it is nevertheless the high privilege of this nation to host tens of thousands of students and others from all around the world. By the way, I want to commend this morning the 35 families who have invited an international student from American University across the street to share their Thanksgiving dinner this coming Thursday. I think that's a wonderful gesture on your part. Your gracious hospitality will turn a stranger into a friend. And who knows, your expressions of thanksgiving to God in the name of Jesus Christ as you prepare for your dinner on Thursday, those prayers and those expressions of thanksgiving may very well plant a seed that will someday blossom into faith in our Savior. Did you know that a very large number of world leaders, contemporary world leaders, studied here in the United States of America? Kofi Annan, the Secretary General of the United States, is a graduate of McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota, one of our Presbyterian schools, by the way. A former president of Zimbabwe studied at American University. A former minister of education graduated from Howard University. Georgetown University claims a member of the parliament in Uruguay, a former vice premier of Taiwan, King Hussein of Jordan, and President Gloria Arroyo of the Philippines. 7 of the top 10 countries that send students to the United States, 7 of those countries prohibit Christian missionaries. No Christian can go to those 7 countries and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, but those countries are sending students to us. Let's be missionaries while they are here. Who knows, one of those students believing in Jesus Christ may return to his or her country to become a premier, to become a prime minister, to become a member of parliament, and perhaps someday open the door to the gospel. All because someone in this nation showed Christian hospitality and shared their faith. Let's be missionaries while they're here. Let's not stop our hospitality on Thursday, November 27th. I want to honor Martha secondly this morning because she was the helpful one in that family. Well, someone after all has to do the shopping, cook the meal, set the table, clean up afterward, and Martha did it. She was the helpful one. I am fully conscious of all the Marthas in this congregation. All the Marthas in this congregation who free me to be a Mary. If I had to type all of my letters and print all of the Sunday bulletins and prepare communion and arrange these magnificent flowers, if I had to answer the telephones and repair the computers, I would have no time left to sit at Jesus' feet in prayer. I would have no energy to study the Scriptures. I would have no stamina left to teach and to preach. What you do in this church may be hidden, but it is very helpful, and I am very, very grateful. I am also grateful at this season of the year for all the Marthas in our society whose services go unnoticed, but who are so essential to the life and the well-being of our neighborhoods and our communities. When I gaze at this city, all of the tall apartment buildings, the busy hotels, the government offices, at the never-ending flow of buses and taxis and cars and planes and trains, I am amazed at the intricate and complex network of utilities and services that are necessary to keep this community viable. And I am thankful for the people who keep the water flowing so I can have a shower every morning. Are you grateful when you turn on the tap for a glass of water? I am thankful for postal workers who deliver my mail, for correspondents who gather the news, often at the risk of their own lives, for the paramedics who respond to our crises in the rain and the cold and the snow, for truck drivers who deliver supplies to the stores where we shop, for stevedores who offload the cargo ships, and for the sanitation engineers who collect our garbage. I'm grateful. Because what they do is often so commonplace and so unglamorous, you won't see them on CNN headline news. But I'm thankful for them. And I believe you are too, because they, like Martha, are the helpful ones who keep our communities whole and healthy and intact. Here's another reason I admire Martha. She hung in there even when she came in second best. Now, you know, had I been Martha, I might have said to Jesus, "Well, Jesus, if you think Mary has chosen the better part by sitting at your feet studying theology, well, I guess I'll do the same thing. And the next time you come for dinner, you'll just have to call Domino's. Because I won't have any time to cook your dinner." Martha said nothing of the kind. In fact, according to the Gospel of John, Jesus paid another visit to this home just 2 weeks before he died. And here is John's report. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served. Martha served because, you see, Martha was not demoralized by what Jesus said here in Luke 10. She didn't feel put down by this. She hung in there. Cooking was still her gift to her Savior. And when Jesus came to her home once again shortly before he died, they gave a dinner for him, and Martha served. Perhaps Martha was not a student. Perhaps she couldn't think and reason as Mary could. That happens all the time with siblings. in any given family. One is left-brained and will post a 4.0 GPA in college, while the other is right-brained and skips college so they can paint landscapes or join a combo or go to culinary institute. In my Alpha small group last Wednesday night, a proud mother told me about her two children. She herself has 3 law degrees, and her oldest child couldn't wait to get to college, but the youngest skipped college and went off to become an artist. And today, that one is illustrating children's books and doing it very successfully, and that mother is proud of both her children. Our Lord wants you to do what you are gifted to do, to make your unique contribution to the welfare of our world. I believe that's what Jesus was implying when he repeated her name that day, Martha, Martha. Martha had come to him and said, Lord, don't you care? I'm just up to my eyebrows in pots and pans, and Mary's in here taking. Lord, don't you care? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, as if to say, you ask if I care? I care deeply and sincerely grateful for all that you do. Even I, the Son of God, I need a place where I can slip off my sandals and put up my feet. I'm a long way from home, Martha. I need to hear the clatter of pots and pans. I need to hear the chatter of family conversation in the family. And Martha, when I arrive, I'm really hungry for some of your leg of lamb. So hang in there, Martha. I need what you do for me, just as Mary needs what I can do for her. Someone out there needs what you can do for them. A listening ear, a helping hand, a thoughtful word, a hot casserole, a ride to the doctor, an hour of respite care. May not be very glamorous. It won't put you on the cover of People magazine, but it will earn this tribute from your Savior. Well done, good and faithful servant. As you did it to one of the least of these members of my family, you did it to me. And when all is said and done, can we ask for anything better than that? Amen.